Welcome to Great Loop Radio, brought to you by America's Great Loop Cruisers Association. We're dedicated to sharing Great Loop information and inspiration with those actively cruising, planning for, or dreaming about a Great Loop adventure. I'm Kim Russo. I'm the director of AGLCA. Today, we're continuing our series on how we found our Great Loop boat, and we're going to bring another looper on. These are loopers in progress who are pretty new to their boat. So we'll bring in Brian and Jen in just a minute. Before we do, I want to take a moment to recognize and thank our Admiral sponsors who support AGLCA at the highest level. They are Curtis Stokes & Associates, Passage Maker Trawler Fest, Skipper Bob Publications, and Waterway Guide Media. As always, we encourage our listeners and our viewers to support these businesses that support the Great Loop. And with the business out of the way, I want to welcome Brian and Jen to Great Loop Radio. Thanks for joining me today from beautiful Marathon.
Yes, thank you for having us.
Yeah, so let's start off. Tell us a little bit about yourselves and, you know, why you decided to do the Great Loop.
Okay, great. I'm Jennifer and my husband, Brian. We've been married for about 13 years now, going on 14. One of the things that attracted us to each other was our love for traveling. And we've been doing international travel multiple times a year since we've met. We've always talked about the loop. We thought we were going to do the loop later in life when we officially both retired. But with COVID interrupting our ability to do international travel, we decided let's go ahead and do the loop now. And it's a great way to kind of social distance when we need to, but also exceed the country. And so we started this journey on January 15th. I'm still actively working. I'm a physician. I actually am in pediatric intensive care and I do shift work. So I am lucky enough to work with a team that's allowing me to group all my shifts together for the end of a month and the beginning of the next month. And then I have about 4 to 6 weeks off in between the times that I have to go back to do shifts for about 2 weeks. So that's what I'm going to be doing during this year. And Brian is officially retired from Amazon. You want to add anything?
Yeah, and I'm Brian. And, I think this is going to be a great, release for Jen when she goes and does her tough shifts at the hospital and can come back and relax and recuperate on board YOLO. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes. And Jennifer, thanks for sharing that for a couple of reasons. First of all, thank you for continuing that work through COVID, because I'm sure it has been quite going on, 2 years now for you.
Yeah.
But also I think it gives people who aren't retired yet another thought on how they might be able to do this, because you are able to maintain a full-time job, a pretty intense job at that,
right.
But kind of arrange your schedule so that it all works. Yeah. And I think that's probably something that a lot of people maybe have not considered. So we're happy to have you aboard.
Yes.
and out there doing the Great Loop. And I know you've worked your way from Charleston down to Marathon, which is super exciting. You're probably at this point, since you were coming south, which is the opposite direction from most loopers are approaching Marathon. But
right.
Now that you're in Marathon, you're probably going to start to see lots and lots of Burgees out there and more headed that way, in fact. So that's exciting. But, tell us where you're from, because you're not exactly coastal. Where your home is, and tell us a little bit about your boating experience prior to the Great Loop.
Yeah, so we're from Scottsdale, Arizona, and our entire boating experience, probably from 2012 to 2019-ish, was on a mid-sized lake just north of Phoenix, Arizona, Lake Pleasant. And we had a 38-foot Sea Ray Sundancer. Nice boat. It was a lake boat, so there were no tides, there were no currents, so I knew how to dock a boat in calm waters, it's been an interesting journey here, learning, and what a great place to learn in the Ashley River in Charleston on our way down here.
Absolutely. Yeah, for someone who's only done lake boating and not have to deal with tides and currents, you picked probably the most challenging place there is on the loop, tides and current-wise, to start out and then head south from there. You know, that whole the southern part of South Carolina and all through Georgia, you've got those pretty substantial tides. So I bet you're feeling pretty much like an expert on that at this point.
Yes. And just a shout out, you know, one of the things that wasn't a deterrent for us, and, you know, just watching all of the videos and watching your podcasts and being on the Great Loop Forum, it really gave me a sense of, hey, I can do this. The other thing that we did is we contacted Capable Cruising, and we had Scott and Karen Duvall come out to our boat for 3 days, and just, you know, they showed us this boat. We went out into the heavy winds. We went out into a pretty good current, and you know, practiced. And it just gave us a lot of confidence. So definite just shout out to Capable Cruising. I know there's other folks out there as well, but that's who we chose. And, my level of confidence just went up by tenfold having spent that time with them.
Yeah. And that's so important. And obviously you did have some previous boating experience. So you hear Phoenix and kind of think desert, but you did have a sizable, you know, certainly a Great Loop capable boat. Getting it from your lake to the Great Loop route probably would have been a challenge.
Yes. You're right.
But so you had some boating experience before in a comparable size boat, but you mentioned your boat is YOLO. So tell us about your boat and why you picked the name YOLO.
So we found YOLO up in Boston, Massachusetts, with the help of Michael Martin and Curtis Stokes and Associates. We just fell in love just looking at boats at the Ranger tug. We wanted a trawler, we wanted, you know, we were looking at a 29 to 31 foot, and just kind of with the price range and some of the, you know, some of like the age of some of the boats that were there. We just found this one, and it's a 27 foot Ranger tug, and it's got some really cool after market features. It does have full AC and heating. The previous owner did put a generator on board as well. And then one thing that we're using for the first time today is he actually put in a water spigot for city water, which was not on the original model 2011 Ranger Tug R27. So, that's YOLO.
And I think when Brian showed me the trawlers, I had never seen the trawler version of boats before. I wasn't as knowledgeable about boats. I loved the look. And then I said to Brian, I said, you know, let's just, I'll let you pick the size based on your comfort being the captain for most of the journey. And I just wanted to make sure that we had a generator and air conditioning. And that was definitely a must-haves.
And our little Yanmar 180 horsepower diesel engine is just purrs like a kitten and is getting us to where we need to go. Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like your tug is a little bit smaller than your Sea Ray was on the lake.
Oh, yes.
And I don't know how much time you really spent aboard the Sea Ray, if it was kind of a weekend boat, but, you know, what made you step down in size when you started to look at something that you were going to be spending a significant amount of time aboard?
Yeah, I think a few things. One, you know, the Sea Ray had twin 495 MerCruiser engines, you know, gasoline, and I saw us, you know, shelling out a bunch of money and fuel for that. The considerations in going down in size, a couple things. One is we had heard from loopers that, you know, some of the waters can get pretty, you know, pretty skinny. And this boat drafts, you know, 2 feet, 2 inches versus our old boat at nearly 5 feet. So I really like the comfort of not, you know, not that it can't happen, but the likelihood of going aground would be obviously minimized. In this boat, when we came and did the personal inspection, the biggest thing was, you know, was the stateroom, the sleeping quarters, was it going to be big enough? And I was very, very pleasantly surprised on how generous the Ranger Tug R27's berth is. So Jen and I and our little dog have plenty of room to sleep at night. You know, and the rest of the boat is cozy, but our aft deck is super nice and roomy, and that's where we want to spend all of our time.
Yes.
And now that we're out of the winter weather, that's where we're spending all of our time.
Yes. And the water is so beautiful there in Marathon. It's one of the things that's just stunning every time I go to that area. It's just almost like a shocking color of blue. And I saw in one of your Facebook posts, Brian, that you kind of mentioned the watercolor. And I was like, yes, that is exactly it. That's what, you know, as soon as you get there, it's like amazing compared to coming from Charleston and heading down the river system. You have kind of a lot of, you know, not real pretty water until you head down there to the, well, starts to get prettier around, you know, South Florida, but the Keys is like no other place on the loop. So it's pretty amazing. Jennifer mentioned a couple of, you know, kind of the comfortable must-haves, like a generator and air conditioning. But when you set out to find the boat, was there any, and you mentioned that you liked the trawler style, but any other kind of must-have features that you were looking for? You know, there's the age-old question that there's no right or wrong answer, but, you know, single versus dual engines, those kinds of things. Did you have any strong preferences in those directions of any of those other types of features of the boat?
Probably diesel.
Yeah, so we definitely wanted diesel. Mm-hmm. I know the old adage of, you know, if you only have one engine and it goes out, you have no engines. My adage is if you have two engines and one or two engines break, then you have to fix two engines. We are getting the dinghy with a 6 horsepower engine when we're back up in Fort Lauderdale. But that was a must for us was going diesel. And then from Tug Nuts and AGLCA, I couldn't have read better reviews about the Yanmar engine. So we were definitely steering towards single engine. We wanted to cruise at about 8 or 9 knots. We're averaging right now about 8.2 for this journey south. And that's plenty fast for us, with our lives, we just want to slow down. We don't need a go fast boat. That was probably the biggest thing that we were looking for, was definitely diesel. We prefer an inboard, which is what this is, obviously. Those are probably the two big things that we were looking for.
You mentioned how, you know, kind of your average speed so far on this trip. Have you calculated at all your fuel burn rate?
Mm-hmm.
How is that looking so far?
It's looking really good. So the Yanmar is kind of sipping the fuel right now. So I think it's 2.8 nautical miles a gallon or something. Wow.
The highest is about 3.2 so far that we've had. So
I'm envious.
That was 2 days ago when we were coming down Biscayne Bay.
Yes.
It was about sustained 20-mile-an-hour winds. We were going due south, and we had east winds and east currents. So I was tacking like a sailboat the entire length of Biscayne Bay. So it was my Nebo tracks are all zigzaggy. I promised I was not drinking.
So let's take a quick break. We'll play a message from one of our sponsors. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about the process you underwent to find the right boat, because it is something that many are finding very challenging right now. I don't think we mentioned when you purchased, but it was pretty recently. When did you actually close on YOLO?
Late October of this past year is when we closed on YOLO. Yeah.
Right. So this current boat market where it's hard to find boats, which is one of the reasons I really wanted to have the two of you on. As you probably know, we had our winter rendezvous last week. And lots of people looking for boats, lots of people finding challenges with that. So I really kind of want to talk about your specific situation since it's recent and it's during the current market. So we'll be back in a moment.
Winter Harbor Marina is located on the Oneida River, 1.5 miles west of Oneida Lake in Brewerton, New York, just minutes from Syracuse International Airport. Winter Harbor offers the lowest diesel fuel and gas prices from New York City to Canada. If you find a lower posted documented price, they will match it. Their amenities include complimentary courtesy vehicle, 24-hour pay-at-the-pump fueling, dockside water and cable TV, pristine bathrooms and showers, and emergency haul-out service. For more information, call 315-676-9276 or visit www.winterharbormarina.com. www.winterharborllc.com. Winter Harbor is a proud commander sponsor of AGLCA.
We're back on Great Loop Radio. Our guests today are Brian and Jennifer. They are current loopers in progress aboard their Ranger tug, and they are sharing the stories of how they found their Great Loop boat. So that's really where I want to kind of focus in now. Brian and Jennifer, kind of tell us how, you knew you wanted to do the Great Loop. You decided that with Brian retired and your lives the way they were, and Jennifer able to kind of alter her work schedule some so that she would have, months to weeks to a month plus at a time. When you decided now was the time, how did you go about starting the search?
Yeah, we wrote down our wish lists and, the things that, we just talked about, the must-haves. And then just being associated with AGLCA, I knew of Curtis Stokes, and I knew of Michael Martin, who, just deals directly with, great loopers and great loop boats. Emailed him and got a very quick response from him saying, hey, I have all your, desires. I will start to scour. And it wasn't but a couple of weeks where we saw some boats that just wouldn't work out for one reason or another. And then we found YOLO up in Boston. Mm-hmm. And it had just come on the market. So it was not on the market for very long. And we quickly made contact with them. I think they were encouraged that within a day or two, we were both flying Michael from Florida and or Charleston and me from Arizona to Boston for a personal inspection. Mm-hmm. I think that may have saved us from other people wanting to see the boat potentially.
And I think one of the things that I would say is I was very hesitant about looking at broadly from a geography standpoint. For a boat, I really wanted to find one in Florida because that would have been easier to start the loop in Florida. So I would, mm-hmm. I guess this opened my eyes that you can look more broadly and don't let that stop you, because we were able to get the boat down to Charleston, and Brian can talk about that. And then Charleston was actually a great place to learn about our boat with the tides that they have. So in retrospect, I think that I was hesitant about finding a boat so far away from Florida, but it actually turned out great. So
it's fairly common right now, because boats are coming to market and selling so fast, to make an offer sight unseen contingent on that personal inspection you mentioned. Did you have the need to do that in this case?
No.
Yeah. Because of the fact that you flew down right away.
Yes, right, exactly. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Excellent. Okay. So that's a plus. Some people get kind of uncomfortable with the idea of the sight unseen, and it's just becoming more and more common that just to have the opportunity to even do the personal inspection, by the time you can get there could be other offers. Right. And I want to encourage people, particularly if you're working with a buyer's broker, it is very common right now to put in that offer sight unseen. Yes. And contingent on your personal inspection, which means you are able to walk away if for any reason you're just not satisfied with the boat when you do that personal inspection. But working with a buyer's broker can also gives you even a little bit more protection there, because that deposit you're putting is going into the broker's escrow account. So it's a very uncomfortable thing for a lot of us to think about, putting in an offer and a deposit on something you have not mm-hmm. set foot aboard yet. But if you're doing it the right way, you are very well protected, and boats are selling so fast, that's kind of part of the deal right now. So I assume that you proceeded from after the personal inspection, made a return trip for a survey and sea trial and all the normal boat buying things.
Mm-hmm. We did. Yeah. And I know people try to buy or sell boats on their own. And many of those transactions probably work out. For me, understanding how to operate a boat is different than what to look for, when you're really serious about buying a boat. And having a licensed captain broker in Michael Martin and Curtis Stokes, before we got there, it was, hey, let's look for some showstoppers. And, you know, there were things, you know, there were just little things on the boat that we needed to get, you know, fixed upon, you know, our purchase. But walking away from the personal inspection, knowing that we would have additional expense and going to a hull survey and an engine survey, having that broker with me saying, hey, you know what, like, this is a good boat. Let's go to the hull and engine inspection. Made me feel really good.
Yes.
And then to have both of those come back with very good grades, obviously just sealed the deal.
Yeah, and that is a great point, and something I probably haven't brought up before is that there is a pretty good expense to surveying and sea trialing a boat, because you do usually have the engine surveyor and the hull surveyor, and those both have costs associated with them. So having somebody who's knowledgeable about the boat to kind of give it the once over during the inspection is kind of a great way to avoid going to the expense of a survey and a sea trial on something that's probably not a great boat. And as more and more boats are coming to market, because it's a seller's market and it's a great opportunity to sell something that, you know, maybe has been sitting for a little while, it's great to have that knowledgeable set of eyes besides your own on the boat. So how many boats total did you actually, you know, did you do a personal inspection on any besides Yolo?
In San Diego, we did go.
We viewed a boat in San Diego. We didn't get to the survey.
We actually went there more for not to actually think about putting an offer, but I wanted to kind of get a sense of what a 31 foot versus a 29 foot Ranger tug was like. And so we happened to be on vacation in San Diego, and we looked up to see if there were any Ranger tugs available, and we were able to go on to a 31 and a 29 foot. So I could kind of understand what is the difference and what is the gain between the sizes. We ended up with a 27, which, you know, we didn't initially, we thought we were going to get a 29. But the 27, having the retro generator and AC, allowed us to really feel comfortable going to with a 27.
Yeah. The other thing that happened at our winter rendezvous that I think caught a lot of people by surprise was information on the current status of getting insurance for a boat. And we did cover that in last week's podcast, but I'm thinking it probably wasn't a real struggle for the two of you because you were stepping down in the size of the boat and had some previous experience, but any insight into how that process worked for you?
Again, AGLCA, you know, sponsors and just contacts put us on to our insurance company, and you know, they did their due diligence, asked about, you know, our previous boat and, you know, my boating experience. You know, they did, it was favorable that our boat's a 2011, and that's partially why we were looking at that, you know, not that exact year, but the newness of the boat. Like when we were searching for boats, there were boats in our price range in the size of boat, they were more in the 2000, 1998, 2002 range, which obviously would have been different insurance considerations. But luckily for us, with the size of boat and my boating experience, getting the insurance was not hard at all.
Yeah. So for anyone who is not up to speed on the insurance issues, it's really a hot topic right now. And go back to last week's episode of Great Loop Radio for more information on that. But Brian and Jennifer probably had the ideal situation going into that for insurance, because you're right, Brian, it's a newer boat. The issues right now with insurance are for older boats, for people who are stepping up in the size of their boat from, you know, for more than 10 feet bigger, or people who don't have a lot of boating experience. So you were able to kind of check all the boxes that the insurance companies are looking for, which is great. So I'm glad that was an easy process for you. So did the boat have the name Yolo, or did you rename her when you took possession?
Yes, she had the name Yolo. We, for our first boat, we actually changed the name and did a whole naming ceremony. Mm-hmm. So we weren't afraid not to change the name. We've done it before, but Yolo was exactly the phrase that we chose, because that means everything to us. In making this decision to do the loop now versus waiting it just kind of fit. So I said, let's not change it. So let's keep it.
It really does fit with what I know of your story. So I'm actually very surprised that that's not the name you gave her, that she already had that, because it is perfect for the two of you and how you're going about it.
Like, this is the right boat for us. You know, I do believe in signs, and that was a sign.
Yep. So you're coming to us from Marathon today. Actually, a question I missed and I did want to come back to. How did you get the boat from Boston, where you purchased it, down to Charleston, which is where you really started doing your cruising?
Yeah, it was a recommendation from our broker, and that person was not able to do it. And then they were subsequently recommended another gentleman who was able to trailer it down to Charleston. And super nice guy to work with. Yes. I felt very safe. He was insured and just provided me with a lot of details about his business and insurance. And we were able to get down to the marine yard where we had some work done on it, and splashed her there, and then brought her over to the marina.
So another great benefit to it being a 27-footer is you can transport it on a trailer rather than having to have a captain take it down from Boston for you. So that makes total sense, makes it well worth it.
It was not. Yeah, it was also, it was not. Yeah. So the 380 Sundancer, you know, you needed an 18-wheeler. This was a guy in his Ford F-150 pickup truck bringing Nolo down to super easy. Yeah,
no, that's perfect. It makes a lot of sense for people who are looking for a boat. Now, some people who are still working and are going to be doing the loop somewhat in segments, the way you described, look for a trailerable boat because they plan to, you know, take it home some of the time. Obviously, you're not going to be doing that to Arizona. But, you know, tell us a little bit about your plans. You started from Charleston and headed south because that's what you do at this time of year. But it sounds like once you leave Marathon, you're kind of going to go in a little bit more of the traditional looping direction, so to speak. And, you know, so what's your plan for the loop? Is it a multi-year plan for you? Is it a 1 year? What are you thinking right now? And everything's subject to change.
Right. Yeah. My colleagues that I work with, they've committed to helping me and, you know, do this journey for a year. So hopefully it won't spill over too much into 2023, but it may, you know, but I might not have as much flexibility come the next year. So I definitely, we're kind of thinking of trying to make this work in a year. Right now, our plan is to go counterclockwise, go back up the East Coast as a traditional loop. We are going to make it back to Fort Lauderdale before I have to go back to work. And we'll use that time to kind of do some maintenance on Yolo. Brian will stay with our dog on Yolo, and I'll be going back to Scottsdale to do some work. And when I get back, we'll start going back up the East Coast. We do have my nephew's wedding in Cape May at the end of May. So that is our plan, to be in Cape May by that time, which actually worked out perfectly. His date just corresponded with the loop kind of timing that we needed to be
that's
up
right.
there for.
Yep.
And, so that's going to work out, but we don't have it all mapped out. It's kind of hard to do with weather and everything. We just kind of know different areas that we want to hit.
Right.
So.
And that's the beauty. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's the beauty of this trip, right, is to not have that set schedule to say, on this day I'm going to be here, on this day I'm going to be here. There are a few dates, obviously, that are, you know, important. Mm-hmm. You know, we were going to come down to the rendezvous, but the, you know, the lock was shut down, you know, on the 3rd of January, which just kind of kept us here. And we know that the New York Canal system won't open, I think, until May 20th. Mm-hmm. So we can't really get up there any faster. But it's been really nice. And hopefully a lot of loopers are the same way. It's, you know, we're pretty speedy right now because we're kind of like, you know, working in between Jen's schedule. But there'll be plenty of time where we just hunker down for a week or so in different spots and enjoy the journey.
Yes.
Well, and as I think I've said before, I'm headed to Marathon next, but I think you'll already be gone, but I'm sure we'll be, the phrase that I just heard like in the last year or so, but it's such a good descriptor, is that we'll be leapfrogging as opposed to leapfrogging.
Yes.
But, you know, we'll be jumping past you and you'll be jumping past us, and I'm sure we'll see you along the way, and looking forward to catching up with both of you out there on the water. So thanks for joining us today. This has been a great discussion.
No problem.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. And thanks to everyone who's joined us today. We'll be back next week with another episode of Great Loop Radio. Until then, safe cruising.